Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer. Through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church Global, it is his vision to raise God's end time on.
God has not called you to prove your gifts. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talent.
So, brace up for an experience.
Alright, so I started a subtopic, practical things to put in place before you marry or before you get married. Depends on the solidity of your use of English and words. So I'd like us to please turn our Bibles, take this very important text. The book of Genesis, chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Alright, I'm just going to paraphrase the story. You know the story. God had created the heavens and the earth. He had established all things. Then he placed man there to exercise dominion. Amen. He placed man in the garden to exercise dominion, placed man in his presence. Then God looked at the man, having given him all those things, and God said, it is not good for that man to be alone. God never said it is not good for every man to be alone. He said it is not good for that kind of man to be alone. And when I laid the foundation of this series, one of the first things we're able to do is to remove some block of safety. And I had to first show you how that the union of Adam and Eve is not the kind that we have now. Many things were unique to their own reality. That is a lot different now. Is that okay now? And I said things like, Adam never had a reason or any need to pray about the will of God in marriage. After all, there was just one woman. He never had reason to say whether he wants the tall one or the not so tall one or the chubby one or the not so chubby one, because there was no option. And the Bible didn't bother giving us the physique or the physical description of what Eve looked like. Because as far as destiny is concerned, it doesn't matter. Before you go to the gym to trim down, be sure you are convenient with what you have. Because if you go out of hate for yourself, you will get bigger. Because your body hormones will pick the signal. You'll be stressed out. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible never bothered to mention many things about physique, about the size of boats and all those things. But they didn't matter in destiny. So why do they matter now? Well, I'll just say one word. We're exposed to a lot of corruption. Now, that's not me trying to be unrealistic and say, we're getting these things, but now what are you talking about? That's the fact. Do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Good. So there are many things. There are people who are doing marriage wrongly. And there are people who are not married that must not marry the way they are. They do, it will be disastrous to ever find them, whether male or female. And marriage is so powerful that if you get it wrong, you'll be spent. You'll be spent. You see, yes, one thing that amazed me, and I did not really come to this full understanding until I got married. So there are many things you may not come to really understand and take probably serious as it should. You can't learn them through theory. The only reason you're glad you are married is when you marry the right person. If you marry the wrong person, you will wish that you had more time. But you can also marry the right person and wish you had more time. Because marriage is 70% what two right people do with themselves. Amen. Alright, people are angry about their spouse, about this, about that. And some people have concluded that they've married the wrong person. Meanwhile, they are the wrong person. Being a wrong person is not about your species, your flesh. A wrong mindset makes you a wrong person. Wrong training, wrong exposure makes you a wrong person. And I have said this in the loudest way I can, that there are people you must not marry. There are people that should not be married. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it making sense to you? No, it doesn't have to make sense. You just have to understand. There are people that should not be married. Not by anyone who is in God's plan. They are the harvest of wrong seeds, sown by wrong people, not exposed to God's help. What a man sows, he should what? Reap. You can sow good stuffs in your life, but at that moment you fail to honor God's voice because of pressure. You will reap in another man's field thorns and thistles. Terrible stuff. I'm going to come over again the things I showed you on Tuesday. I faced the female gender first, about practical things you need to put in place before you marry. What's the first thing I said? I said, number one, you should what? Heal. Number two, be financially mature. Number three, louder. Number three, okay, number one. Oh, sorry, I'm reading somewhere else. Number one, heal. Number two, sorry, learn submission. Number three, be financially independent. Number four, then basic homekeeping knowledge. Number five. So we're at number what? Number six. Are you ready for number six now? Are you sure you're ready for number six? Number six, the sixth thing. So I will start also from the ladies. Do you mind? Or should I start from the guys? I can start anywhere. The ladies, all right. You believe me, who laughs last laughs best. Now, these are important things to have in place before you marry. Marriage is not an institution you run into with little or no information. You prepare, and you cannot over-prepare for it. People's lives have been messed up because of who they marry. Somebody's been stabbed to death. Somebody's been suffocated emotionally because they are married people who have not been exposed to any form of training. You have any auntie or uncle somewhere that you know the wife, you know the spouses? And you are amazed anytime you see them. You are wondering what they are doing to themselves. You wonder how people meet a girl, beautiful looking, with promising future. And few moments after they marry the girl, she starts looking like her grandma. And you wonder, why are good girls ending up in the hands of guys who are mentally retarded? Because the good girls want bad stuff. We have to call a spade a spade. They prefer the height, not the anointing. They prefer the look, not the content. They prefer the cash, not the sense. So you have rich fools. And yes, they are around. Even in religious environments, including church. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've told people, church is a spiritual clinic. Is that okay? Some patients have been discharged. They are still in church, but they are fine. Some are responding to treatment. They are growing fast. Some are not responding to treatment. And they are about to discharge themselves. And they will discharge themselves on somebody's son, on somebody's daughter. So you wonder, there's a case that happened years back, and by that I mean about 7 years ago. Very, very powerful family in this country. We went to visit them, myself and a friend. And if you look at this girl, a picture hanging on the wall, she looked like an Indian woman. Now she's sitting in front of us. We cannot link the picture on the wall with what we are seeing here. It looked like what we ordered versus what we got. And I was wondering, she's still young. As at then, their marriage was about 3 years old. And these are their wedding pictures online. This is not makeup. If somebody is fine, you're fine. If makeup should enhance anything, it's because you are naturally fine. Okay? So we are wondering, one of those days, the lady said, "Can I open up to you?" All right, go ahead. Said, "I'm dying. What's happening?" Said, this guy, the guy won't sleep with her until he has first. He will beat her to a pulp. When she is now helpless and powerless, that's when he enjoys sex. If that's not demonic, what is it? So I like some Jesus boy with a touch of Jaru. He will rule your world. And you know, marriage is such a place that you can be suffering and going through hell and still taking pictures. So how do you want to marry a person just for what the person will look like in wedding gown and wedding suit? For what your friends will see. I like when we go out and hang out together. You know, one time I was in a relationship with a very beautiful girl. Thank God I married someone more beautiful. And this girl was so beautiful that when we go out to any tree, all heads will turn. All heads. And I like it. Everyone will turn. Taller than I am. 6 feet, some inches. But it's not in height. And it's not in figure eight. If you have this thing, you have it. If you don't, you don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? And one of the things that makes marriage so funny is that you get your certificate before you start. Everybody assumes that when two people come to the altar, they know what they are doing. We are not even expecting that the same wedding day should change you. We expected that you should come as a changed person. What change? The change you did experience all your life. 30 minutes of preaching won't bring it. So there are many things to consider. Say many things. Say it again, many things. Now I need to stress this point. The sixth thing that you need to put in place before you get married. Guys, watch out for this and the person you want to marry. Is that you need to learn the heart of peace. The heart of what? Say it again, the heart of peace. Say it again, the heart of peace. Say it again, the heart of peace. Now, the opposite of a peaceful woman is a contentious woman. That's the opposite. A contentious woman. When you don't have a peaceful woman, what you have is a contentious woman. And I'd like to tell the guys that in all honesty, the hips won't matter for long. The pink lips won't matter for long. They are okay. The physique and all those things won't matter for long. At some point in your life, when reality sets in, you will need peace more than anything else. And do you know you can know a peaceful woman before you marry her? You can know a peaceful woman before you marry her. Yes. You can know a peaceful woman. Have you people believe some demonic stuff? Can I talk to you a bit? Some demonic stuff like women's head used to touch. Like a woman may not even know what's wrong with her. Just want to cause trouble. Have you seen things like that? It's demonic. It's not true. That's not your nature. You are not your temperament. Temperaments are real, but you are spirit controlled. Now, when I'm having my menstrual flow, I just get angry, I get provoked. I can talk anyhow. You should know that the way I woke up this morning, that something is happening. So, I'm not... Shut up. Deborah had menstrual flow in the Bible. It didn't begin with you. Esther had menstrual flow. Now you are quiet. It looks like, Pastor, you are not understanding what we women go through. I said Esther had menstrual flow in the Bible. And she was married to a king. She honored him. Talk to me now. She honored him. I never saw anywhere in the Bible any woman complain that I'm angry because I'm having menstrual flow. You are simply not a peaceful person. Period. You like wahala. Just like trouble. Your mood is not you. You have the Holy Ghost to regulate. And I'm saying this, listen. Because lack of peace in the home is a master key in the hands of the devil. It will come with destruction, hunger, and pain. Just every moment you are at the edge of your breakthrough. Once the devil can establish that he can take peace away from your consciousness, every time you should break into a new phase, it will come. You will disagree and you will scatter the whole thing. Then you will go again. As a woman, master peace. Now, one of the descriptions, can you please show me this scripture, Proverbs 31, of the Proverbs 31 woman, is that she will do her husband good all his days. Now we need more ladies who are wired for that. Whose consciousness is, I will do him good. I will make you happy. Ladies, do you mind? Can I ask you to please stand? Raise your right hand and say, I will do my spouse good all his days. Mark those who are not saying this and avoid them. Say, I will do my spouse good all his days. I will not stress him. Life miserable. I will not make his life difficult. I will be a peaceful woman by his side. I will be a supportive wife. Now, those of you who are married, hold your husband. Get close to your husband. Is it long distance marriage? I want to rub his head a bit and say, I will do you good. That's not how to rub the head. You hold on. You rub the head. I will do you good all my days. Come on, say it again. Do you enjoy together? And when a man wakes up every morning and the woman knows how to treat him like a king, he goes out and excels. The reason why some men are struggling out there, because their wives have killed them at home. Contentious, rude, arrogant, despising. Everyone knows what he carries except the wife. Do you know one of the reasons why I function so well? Because no one actually has a better revelation of me than my wife. That's the truth. After many services, we'll come to the house, to the room, and she will kneel down and say, I've been pursuing what you carry. Lay hands on me. I want to do this also. I look at her and she brings me seed. I finished ministry on Tuesday. She said, I was just looking at you and I was saying to myself, see who I married. I said, what? She said, how many of that share did you buy? I said, just one. She said, you're going back to buy more. So I will sow it as a seed. I said, what? When you have a woman like that, you do well. That's the truth. Maybe if my wife is a rude woman, I'm not just going to talk about peace and just going to avoid it. Make sure you treat your spouse in such a way that he can't think of your replacement. They may look finer than you, but they can't beat what you bring to the table. Peace. You create an atmosphere where he can blossom. Please be seated as queens. Now let me show you a few scriptures. Are you ready for me? Now turn your Bibles. Now look at it. I love this. Proverbs 31 said, she will do him good and not what? Evil. She will do him what? Good and not evil. So it means there are women that do their spouses evil. True or not true? Do wickedness. There are women that talk down their spouses before family and friends. One of the worst things you can do to your spouse is embarrassing the person. You are not to conquer your spouse. You are not to bring your spouse to your level. You are to ascend to where the scripture says you should be. How often do you have peace? When this one says one, that one has replied with 10. I bet unless something is done, the home may not be any better. That's the truth. Sometimes when I come out and travel, I have trips, and people just put my pictures everywhere and say, Apostle, oh, you're a blessing. I am, because someone is beautiful. That's the truth. Let me say this to you. If you have not mastered the heart of peace, God can help with his sons that matters in his agenda. Or he gives you one and you destroy the agenda. Say it loud and clear, I will not destroy my husband. Now, ladies, you are quiet now. You are quiet. Don't. Come on, shout it the way you would have shouted. I will give him peace all his days. Do you know that food is only interesting if you're a woman of honor? There are men who no longer eat their wife's food because the attitude stinks. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 21 verse 19. We read this in three translations. We read this in King James, then we read in Amplified, then we read in Message. You need to see it in those translations. Are you ready? Proverbs 21 verse 19. Please give it to me. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. That is, it is better not to have a house over your head than to live with a woman who is contentious. I'm going to show you what it means to be contentious, but give me an Amplified translation. It is better to dwell in a desert land, than with a contentious woman with vexation. One that you cannot have the hand of God sustained on your head for long, because you will vex your spirit. True attitude, true words, through the things he's doing. Do you know women's attitude can take peace from the atmosphere? Just pass peace. Can I talk to the guys? Don't marry a woman who doesn't respect you. Anytime there's an argument, she compares you quickly. That's not your wife. Let her marry the person she's comparing you with. You are a king. You are not to be managed. Once you discover this person, can you hear me? This person doesn't honor you, and you have said it several times, but the person won't change. Break it. It is better. Don't marry a devil. And I have to be frank with you. Can you give us this now in Message translation? Now look at it. Better to live in a tent in the wild than with a cross and petulant spouse. Somebody who has they have no tendency for peace. Fight with the husband, fight with those who are close to the husband, fight with the in-laws, fight with every guest, with attitude. There are families you don't like to greet because the attitude stinks. They have no idea. They don't know how to entertain guests. As in, do you know how to treat visitors? Do you know how to cook? Do you know how to present it? What your husband likes, does it matter to you? You married someone who is very hospitable, but you are from a place where your minds are so narrow. When people come to your house, you feel they are coming to eat your food. And you want to do things that will make them go quickly. That's poverty. It's the wrong mindset. There are families you should not greet on Christmas Day. They will serve you food, but the attitude has taken away your appetite. As if chicken is all there is to life. And they miss their benefactors. Because they are not wise. She's not wise. There are women that when you marry, they will strip you off all good relationships. Complain about your friends, those who have met decades before you met her. You know, one of the ways you know you have married the right person is that your life is not restarting. If you have to troubleshoot your life and restart it, then something is dead. The right person will come as a perpetual continuum. You have to cut off your relationships. You have to cut off this. You have to cut off that. There are places I have vowed never to step. Because, yeah, it's wrong. I live in my own house like a king. Don't get treated anyhow. Do you know what peace is? Have you developed the capacity for it? When we come to your home, beyond the smiles, what is the atmosphere like? The woman is a home builder. What are you building your home to be like? What environment are you giving your children? What is your plan? You want to win an argument and lose your home? Sometimes to have peace will mean to keep quiet and talk some other time. Two people can be angry at the same time. He's on the edge. I'd wait. Some husbands and wives are like bulls. We don't know who unleashed them. I grew up in a setting where I saw in our environment, husband will beat the wife and strip her naked. One time a man threw the load of his wife from two building stories. And he used a stick to bring out her panties and said, "See your pants before everyone." And you wonder why the children are growing up with so much dysfunctionality. Do you know that coming from a home where there is no peace is not a yardstick for you to repeat the same pattern? Because you can actually unlearn. You notice when you sit down by yourself, you're just angry. That's the spirit. Are you aware there's a way to talk to your spouse? Are you aware it's not good to shout on your spouse? It's not good. There are women who will even go as far as using F words to let you know what's deep inside. In fact, there are women who beat their spouses. They will beat you up. I saw a picture somewhere. A very small looking man and a very big woman. And they said he has never laid his hands on his wife for 20 something years. Why will he? All she has to do is to use one leg and pin him to the wall and he's... Every time you guys are talking in your relationship, you shout on each other at the end of the phone, bang the call on each other, call yourselves names, and you think anything will change in marriage. It's not going to change. Now, You've just been placed in a cage. And you can look at each other and now talk to each other and visit you. Ask your, are you a peaceful woman? Come on, ask your neighbor again. Are you a peaceful woman? Ladies, why are you quiet? We agreed. Ask your neighbor, are you a peaceful woman? Let me say this to you. You can't sow tears and expect to reap wheat. Listen, listen. Check your investment. Who are you learning from? There are women who are learning from social media, who are learning from Nollywood. You want to marry a girl? Every time you meet her, she's always watching one Yoruba film or the other, one Nigerian film or the other, Nollywood, on the phone. She doesn't even have a good phone, but she will still find a way to smuggle them inside. And you ask her, do you have this message? She said, well, I have to delete it to create space for more Nollywood movies. When this celebrity is fighting this one online, you see she has gotten there and she has liked it. She will follow the OGs. And sometimes when she's talking by the side, she's giving you one giant warning. She's giving you some jab, come on. The way she thinks. You watch when she talks, the way she talks. You know that, is it feminism is deeply rooted here? And you say that, I just love her. Love has common sense. Love is not stupid. It's simple. You have a promising future. Don't marry the person that will kill it. Sometimes with pain and tears, you have to let some people go. Because we will do wrong things to ourselves. The other time I taught you on how to break soul ties, I'm still going to teach you again. Okay? Yes. Can I show you one more scripture? Proverbs 27, verse 15. Proverbs 27, verse 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Give it in another translation. Have you been in a case whereby rain, you are somewhere, unfortunately you couldn't hide yourself, and rain was just head dropping on your head. You were hungry, you can't stop. A continual dripping on a day of violent showers, and a contentious woman are alike. It's a rain that won't stop falling on your head. And once the devil can plant someone like that in your home, you'll be finished from inside out. You don't have to judge people by the kind of background they are coming from, provided they have taken responsibility to change and learn differently. But if they don't learn differently, judge them by their background. And that's a very strong word. Can I come again what I said? It's a very strong word. Don't judge people because they are coming from a dysfunctional background. No. Check them for who they are. But when you observe for a while and you discover that there's no difference between them and that background, make up your mind and leave. And one of the ways to repeat the pains of your background is to live in unforgiveness. Anyone you fail to forgive a parent, that's the one you will become like. And your children will have to now hate you for the very same thing you hate them for. Number 7. Are you still with me, Spirit of Life Church? Or should I reduce my mic? Number seven, things to put in place before you get married as a woman. Learn management. Management. Learn to be a manager. The nature of a woman really is that she's supposed to be a multiplier. One who receives, incubates, and gives you multiple folds. That's the ideal nature. She's a womb man. You give her a seed, she gives you children. That's her nature. So, a woman comes to the life of a man and helps him to be better planned. That's if she knows planning herself. Don't be a squanderer. Don't live above your means. You know, in Abuja, there are people that live above their means. It's a very, very tricky city. Somebody can be wearing t-shirts and controlling billions. One time, I took my wife to go and eat somewhere. And when we were done eating, I said, yeah, give us the bill. We didn't go alone. So by the time you hear the bill, and I won't say who we went with, oh, well, you are safe. So, when they brought the bill, it was 100 and something thousand. I said, okay. Excuse me, what did we eat again? Because it's not just about the money. The fact that you have it doesn't mean you waste it. That's what management tells you. He said, you had this. I didn't even finish it. My wife just said, babe, we're not coming here again. We know some women will tell their husband, that place where you will waste your salary is where you should take me to. It's low self-esteem. Dear ladies, do you know how to grow wealth? What do you know about money? I say, women love to chop money. Okay, it's no problem. But do you know how to make it? Do you know how to manage it? Unless you are preparing to marry a Yahoo boy. Then you don't need management. Just do some things and keep getting more money till they use your head for ritual. Show us Proverbs 31 again. Start reading from verse 5. Let's look at it. Proverbs 31, let's start from verse 5. And dear young man that is pretending, every time you take her out, she takes all the good stuff, you drink bottled water, and say, I don't have appetite. You spend your 1 month salary because you want to prove a point. Mr. No appetite. Is that the person you really want to marry? And the strange girl, too, is not sensitive to know and read his body language. She always forgets her ATM at home. And she's eating stuffs. You call her for a dinner. She's inviting her roommate and the friend of the roommate. And you wonder. You wonder. What kind of mentality is that? One time I was somewhere in Lekki. I entered and I saw a very nice gown. I was going to get the gown for my wife. How much was that gown again? No, 290 something thousand. So I said, what's special about it? I said, well, what's special about it is the fact that when your wife wears this, she's going to be the only person in the world who's wearing this fabric. So the fabrics here, you don't see them on anyone else. If you see the likes of Joker Silva, the likes of this, the likes of that. I said, when we get there, we will wear it. So I called my wife and said, you know what I saw today? I was going to surprise you, but this is... My wife said, you better let me leave that. Do you know a wise woman can even say that? Give me the money. And she put it in her business and make much more. And she can do many stuff for herself. Sorry to be a bit strong. Can I touch it a bit? You want to impress with the money you are not making? What kind of life is that? You want to be among the class of your friends who are making their own money? Make yours too. Learn to be a good manager. We just have to face this matter as they are. If there was a better way, I would have tried. And I'm not someone who likes to speak things red and sugarcoat it. I just have to tell you the way it is. Proverbs 31, please. Let me jump a bit to verse 10. Proverbs 31 from verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and walketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and give meat to her household, and portion to her maidens. You see that now. She considereth a field, and you can go on and on and on and on. I mean, there are so many things about the Proverbs 31 woman. She's a manager of wealth and resources. Any man that marries her will get better in his finance. She will help him plan, help him think. She cut off the excesses and showed them what is necessary. She's not trying to prove a point to her friends and colleagues. She wants to be fine. She's not a waster. Food is not wasting. Throwing things everywhere. She's a manager. She's prudent. That's the kind of woman you should be. She studied about many things. And I want to say this. There are so many issues of low self-esteem in marriage. People using the money don't have to impress people who don't like them. You want to buy a kind of clothes, not for yourself, but so that so-and-so can see it and you have made a statement. It's the wrong way to live life. You'll be poor. Ideally, you should be richer than you look. But if you look more than your personal treasury, then you are broke. It's a wrong way to live life. Have I taught you something? Tell your neighbor, be a good manager. Then be a good advisor. Because part of good management is good advice. She knows what... Do you understand what I'm saying? Be a woman who is deep, who is broad, who is well-read, who has studied about different things, who can speak into any subject. As touching your spouse, you can think together. It's not every time whatsoever you say I follow. No. You have brains. Part of what he paid for in the dowry was the brain. Bring it to the table. Sorry I have to say it. Bring it to the table. One should chase 1,000, two should chase 10,000. But since the day he married you, he's chasing less than 500. What changed? What advice are you bringing to the table? And then if you want to live long and do well, learn to confide in your wife. How dare you have another best friend apart from your wife? Because many women could have helped their spouse, but the guy will never talk. Am I making sense to you? Are you learning something? Are you sure? Are you not tired of me? Number 8. I'm going to touch this a bit more. Have a good understanding of how to take care of children. I think I touched this a bit last week. I might not have to beat it. Now, look up. Are you aware you're going to have children, dear lady? Talk to me now. Are you aware? Are you aware? Whose child have you ever taken care of before? And how did you do it? I can change diapers. I just fixed my nails. Oh. I can't do the
30 stuffs.
We should actually not be talking about marriage for now. Talk about internship with a company that will get you very busy. Because when you get married, and are you aware there are women that will keep you waiting for years? I say, I can't lose my shape now. I don't want children to disfigure my shape. And that is not the reality of anybody who is waiting. And it's none of my business to talk into people's personal affairs. I should just show you scriptures. Because I know my jurisdiction. So, people see all those things. Can I speak from a medical standpoint? People, I see one, I'm careful. Do all those things. I don't want to lose my shape. Spend time on that matter. I don't want any child to come and make me lose my shape. And one day that child will call you mommy. And you say, I'm a proud mother. Don't let me go into the medical part. Of things we do to ourselves. So sometimes I look at people in church. They say, hey, can you help change this child's diapers? You! I don't really like children. It's lack of training. Abby? It's lack of what? Training. You see women that their children will go to school, their nose is blocked everywhere. They will, it's Sunday evening, they will remember they've not washed uniform. They transfer the dirtiness into the child. The child wears the same clothes to school throughout the week, smells. The mate already ostracizing him. The young boy is confused. Why do they hate me? Because we have a dirty mother. Who would rather be busy watching Netflix? Women who would know nothing about their child's homework. A mother is supposed to be there by the side, nurturing the child. But there is a busy wannabe babe. It's busy. If some children should know the evil their parents have done, their mothers have done to them, they will struggle forgiving them. Sometimes what we call love is wickedness on the child. You put a child in front of TV to watch from morning till night. It's affecting the child's mental construction. Are you aware children can become autistic for screen? Start showing some tendencies. You don't know what the child... The child eats junk and chemical food at that age. The child looks malnourished, not taken care of. Every time, biscuit and ice cream. Every time, biscuit and ice cream. The child goes to school, sees other children. A teacher is touching your child in the wrong way in school. You have no idea because you are busy. Busy. Busy doing what we don't understand. Some mothers are so funny, their child will offend them. They'll say, come. Come, I want to talk to you. And slap the child. Are you aware each time you do that, you'll kill trust? It is actually some mothers who are abusing their own children with their lack of attention to details. You knew what you went through as a woman, but now you are passing your own daughter through the same hell. Why are we like that? Why are we like that? Why? Because you want to be busy doing what? When you get married and you start giving child, giving back to children, it's actually a moment of sacrifice. When children start coming, they will actually, your life will change forever. There are many things you will not be able to keep up with because the child is coming. It's the reality of being a woman. And we honor you for that.
But we have to deal with the reality. Your life is not ending, it's just changing. I've seen cases where some women will have to withdraw and walk from home. It's the sacrifice. It's the reality of being married. What were you thinking? That it's just about sex? When you have sex, you make babies. And should you keep inhibiting it because you want to maintain your shape, you give your body a permanent signal that when you stop it, your body does not respond. That's what I didn't want to tell you. Somebody's daughter has been molested by a teacher in school. Do you know how to look at your child and know something is wrong? Do you know how to pay attention to details? Do you ask your child about the mark on her body, on his body? Who did this to you? Before traveling down this trip, I was playing with my daughter. And unusually, just playing that day. It was extra. What is going on? I looked at her. Hey, there's a new guy in your class who watches wrestling. I said, my wife, we need to find out. There's a new guy. So my almost 2-year-old daughter grew my hands and said, come and sit down. So I wanted to sit down. Then she wanted to remove the chair. Hey, somebody's doing this in your class. Who is doing that? We pay attention to all that because it is important. They are children. I mean, that's just being a child. But obviously, you know, somebody is doing that in the class. So they called my daughter in school, Mommy Jo. So when we all gather to pray, she sees everybody knees down. She herself go on her knees. And her amen is loud. Amen. Amen. She doesn't know what we're saying, but that's it. That's what she's seeing. You know, some mothers destroy their own children by telling the child what is going on between them and their father. He doesn't need this information. You are destroying the person's future. Because he will have safeguard for what is not coming. And that fear will create the exact same problem. Some women, some girls now need recovery because of what their mothers told them. Not for what they saw. The woman now. See, when you are going through something with your husband, have a voice over you. Your children can't be that voice. And you too, learn it now. Because when you do that, out of that fear, you make their lives miserable. Number 9, have good relationship skills. Have good relationship skills. Learn to relate. Your spouse, the friends, the pastors, the relationships around your lives. Don't throw away your own relationship because you are married. Learn how to put people in their own places. Learn to relate. Even with your spouse, learn to relate. Learn to know when to say what. It's not every time like bull. Calm down. He must listen because I want to talk. You won't build your home. You will scatter it. I must say everything is my mind now. The way it's... Marriage can only work in the hands of fools. When you have too much sense, you destroy it. But many times you have to choose to be a fool and ignore some things for the sake of peace and later come back to deal with them. That's how a wise woman builds a house. And every man who has conscience and has married a wise woman knows that there are things that this woman would like to tell me. And when you begin to sense that, create an atmosphere, the pillow talk, where she can say what she wants to say. Men don't like to hear, I want to talk to you. Women, you are powerful. You must know the power. And your power is only potent when you wield it with peace and love and tenderness. You are not another man. When you come at him as another man, he comes at you with confrontation. When you come towards him as his queen, he defends you. It is not general, provided you marry the one that has sense. No, we have to say it. 2 plus 2 is equals to 4, if the conditions are right.
Learn good relationship skill with your spouse, with your in-laws. Actually, God is blessing you. Everybody sees you as a problem. So learn to manage them gently. Every time you go for family function, you come back, you fought one in-law or the other. Say, she's looking at me bad eye. You need to take away your eyes. You came there with your husband, face him. Elkanah told Hannah, am I not more than 10,000 children to you? Face me now. Is somebody learning? Are you sure? Let me touch a bit on the guys. Number one thing I told you as a man is what? To heal. And I stress the importance of healing. Number two, what? Be financially mature. Number three, be emotionally mature. A mommy's boy is not an emotionally mature guy. There are homes like this, the mother-in-law that detects when the guy sleeps with the wife. My mommy. Remaining small, he would have been drinking feeder. Small. And he wants to buy his wife shoe, he checks with the mom. Do you like it, mom? Don't marry a mommy's boy. Beard does not qualify a male as a man. It doesn't. Oh, sorry. There are male men and there are male women. It's male whatever it is. Not a hermaphrodite, but it has something. Small meaning. You have been buying menstrual pad. Behaves like a woman, thinks like them, narrow-minded, petty. So he grew up in the midst of sisters. In your hostel, there are sisters there too. I wanted to actually explain a concept of what I call the neutral man. But it's a very tricky one. There are neutral men. They are like handbags. In fact, women can call them to come and stay in their hostels conveniently. They know he's one of them. Highly neutral. They've seen that there's no spine, no masculinity in him. He's not a threat. He can use female toilet conveniently. Say, oh, well done. He's one of us. Sorry, guys. I mean, it's not you, so why should you be sorry? Somebody say, exactly. Are we good? Are we good? Have you seen guys that they invite for bridal shower? Like, he's so neutral. The way he walks, the way he talks, everything. Whatsoever spirit that is breaking the testicles of the men, that spirit is arrested. Where we have men who don't have spines. As a woman, don't conquer your man. What you get when you do so is a woman. I actually have very special interest in speaking to both genders. So there are aspects of my ministry that is still unfolding. We'll create space and platform for these things as time goes by. Amen. One of the things I enjoy doing is helping men become real men. Helping men become real men. So we're going to learn a few things today. So number five, I said you should get purpose right. Number four, I said you should understand the female species, right? And I said there are men who are marrying a gender they don't know. A gender they don't understand. They relate with the woman as though they are related with another man. If you know what I'm thinking, it's already in my mind. I wanted to do it. Women don't understand what is in your mind. They know what you say. Compliment her, say, you look good. Nonsense. Anybody on the street can say she looks good. What can you say that is different? Are you aware that part of being a man is to learn how to talk nicely? Say, whenever I'm under the anointing, I don't really say some kind of... What are you talking about? I saw one video online. Somebody was explaining that the reason why some men of God's marriage is not working is because their anointing is so much, something. Nonsense. Another person said that can't marry a woman who is emotional, because when you are talking with angels, how many angels are you talking to? God planted an angel beside you. You are looking for one angel fertile up and down. What's your problem? But number six, the sixth thing you must have before you marry. Have eyes that sees. And I'm going to dwell here. Have eyes that what? Sees. Tell your neighbor, the man beside you, can you see? Louder, guys. Can you see? Ask him, what do you see? Ask him, what do you see? Are you seeing? Now, how many of you can agree with me that many men have never seen their spouses before? Never. Listen, listen. The Bible has shown us that the heart, the mind, has the capacity of being blinded. Sometimes Paul speaks to the Corinthians, says, some people of whom the God of this world has blinded their heart. Speaking to Ephesians, said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. The eyes need to be enlightened. You need enlightenment. God asking Jeremiah, he said, what do you see? Jesus healed that guy. He said, go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam. He washed it the first time. He said, I'm seeing men like trees. The reason why some men don't touch their spouse, don't relate to their spouse, don't kiss their spouse, don't hug their spouse, don't hold their spouse, is because they have never seen a spouse. The girl is actually more beautiful than every other person she's looking at. And when you marry a man who is not seeing you, he will cheat. You are not looking at what is right in front of you. Can you see? Because it looks like seeing the person's hands when you say, I do. It is a very important thing. Can you see? Have you seen your wife of late? Whose picture do you stare at? Whose social media have you been stalking? Who is entering your eyes? Who is entering your mind? Who are you comparing her with? Have you seen what God gave you? Have you looked at her again? Can you see the person you ignore every night on the bed? Because the devil gives you an impression that what you don't have is better than what you have. And James called it superfluity of nothingness. It's a well you keep digging and not touch water. When you begin to go the route of sexual immorality, you may never come back. I've seen men with beautiful wives gone to chase after something else. You put this person side by side with the wife. You wonder, is something wrong with you? What's wrong with your mind? Are you aware when you are having strange chat with some strange girls and you delete it, you are exposing your home? Who are you confiding in as touching your sexual life in your marriage? Which girl? Because you may come to church and look like all is well. And someone is dying. Oh, you are back talking with your ex. How is she doing? She's telling you what she ate. And every time you post your wife picture, say you, so you pick this one over me, right? And soon you are planning to meet up somewhere and have lunch. Nothing special, just lunch. And we do these things to ourselves because Eve in Genesis 3 looked at the fruit and she said to herself, this is one that a fruit that one should desire to make one wise. It is good to the eyes. And she took of it and ate. But in that same garden, there was the tree of life. You have the tree of life in your garden. Don't go after the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Can you see it? Are you still seeing her? You say she has changed since she gave birth. Who got her pregnant? Whose child did she give birth to? Your child. And when she's pregnant and her body is changing, you can't compliment her. There's no better time to learn it than now. When your wife is pregnant, you are where she throws up. Can you clean it? The day you were marrying that girl, her father held her hands. Please come. Okay, no, your husband is not around. Don't worry, let me. Her father held her hands. But your husband will see you online. I can't hand you to him. Your husband will call me. I say, Apostle, what did you do? Don't worry, man of God. The father, please come. Come like this. When a woman is getting married, the father of the girl holds the hand and walk her down the aisle. Please stand. Like you did that day. And there are ways this is done. The father sometimes hand the girl to the pastor, and the pastor hand the girl to the husband. Never to be handed again to another man. That's the reality. That's what you are doing when you are getting married. So, can you see what is being handed over to you? Or just when you get her, you move on and start looking for something else. And so you go older. So it's brother and sister relationship now. I love your pastors. One of the things you must check in a man before you agree to marry him is to ask him, can you see me? This is what I look like. This is the size of my hips. This is the size of the breast. There's no assurance it's going to get bigger. There's no assurance. Do you like what you see? Or you are a scavenger who wants to pick more things? I am okay the way I am, just in case I am not your type. I am God's type. Somebody's prayer point. Somebody's blessing. And somebody's queen. There is no woman in this world who does not carry what it takes to make the most powerful man kneel to ask for a hand in marriage. It depends on the confidence with which you wait. And never you dare think that any man is doing you a favor for marrying you. Nonsense. He's doing himself a favor. Something happened one time. A woman and her husband drove to a petrol station in their Jeep to buy fuel. And she saw her ex and told the guy, can you imagine, that's my ex. The guy laughed. I said, you better thank God you married me. But if not, you would have been the wife of a petrol attendant. And the woman said, no. If I had married him, you'll be the one by this steering. That's a queen and more. That's a queen and more. Hold your wife to your tent, O Israel. So don't marry her. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's how it's done. There's nothing special about it. That's how it's done. Opening the car door for your wife. That's how it's done. You are not from Irabiji. You are a Zion boy. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Hey! So check. The person you are giving a yes, can he see? Can you see what is right in front of you? Let me be honest with you. Let me be very honest with you. When I was going to marry my wife, I saw her. One time I went to our home church and I saw them wearing berets, and I've spoken against berets all my life. Almost a campaigner against it, but I mean, who cares? If it's good on you, it's good on you. Okay? It looks good. Once he likes it, who cares what anybody thinks? Yeah. You wear it with beauty, dignity, and splendor. Okay? Good. But I've spoken against it a couple of times. But there I was. Been invited to preach in their church. And I was looking at my wife. In their midst. I said to myself, if you guys know who is sitting here, I know what I saw. And it's clear. It's obvious. When I released the video of proposal to my wife, some people started complaining from one school I don't want to mention, and said they've come to carry from amongst us. Because you did not see. Have you seen the ladies in church? You have people that you hear the same thing, trained under the same atmosphere, have the same training, spiritual and doctrinal persuasion, or you like to play a weight match and they flog you back every time. When God made Eve to pass before Adam, the first thing he did was to see her. And you have to keep seeing her all her days. A woman is going to have many seasons. You must see the princess you married, even when those seasons are changing. When her stomach is so big and she's walking like this, see the princess you married. I told my wife during pregnancy, she's pregnant with her daughter, and I said to her, you are even finer pregnant. Beautiful. Flawless. Have you seen my wife? Her skin is like milk. I see her. And when you see your spouse, you can see no one else. Because one thing about the law of focus is that when your eyes is open to one, it's blind to others. When you can see other things, it means you are blind to the one God gave you. Number six, do what? Have eyes that sees. Number seven. Learn leadership before you marry. Leadership. Now, John C. Maxwell said the popular statement that everything rises and falls on leadership. Have you heard that before? Good. So what that simply means is that what becomes of a person or a people is a function of the quality of leadership they are under. The book Spirit of Leadership by Dr. Miles Moore, you gave me that book about 13 years ago. Yes. I was having some leadership crisis in my life at a very serious down moment of my life. I was pastoring in Redeem, then she came in. So the young lady just walked up to me and wrote a note. I said, I'd like to recommend this book for you. And I have listening here. So I searched for it, I didn't find it. And I asked her, can you get me the book if you have it? Then she gave me the book. You see, when people bring you correction and you struggle to take it, it's because your esteem is bad. So I read the book, and the first statement in that book is, a group of sheep led by a lion will defeat a group of lions led by a sheep. What the wife, the children become, is a function of who is in front. Is it a sheep or a lion? If the man prays, they will pray. If he has integrity, they will have integrity. You don't just make decisions because you are married to a person. You must understand that marriage is stewardship. You are not the owner. It's stewardship. It is a sacred privilege God has given to you to lead His child. You can't compel her anywhere. You can't just make her do anything. You hear from God. The mirror, the picture of what marriage should look like is the relation between Christ and the church. And Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. You can't just make decisions like that. We are not saying she's not submissive, but you are hurting her. You are hurting God's plan. You drag her out of her purpose. You drag her because of insecurity. You cut her off every relationship. You make her do things that she knew that both of you never prayed about. And if you ask her, she would have begged her life, asking to do otherwise. The idea of two becoming one is that even if one is down, the other can pick him up. The worst thing you want to do to yourself is to conquer the person who is your lifeline. So leadership is not control. Leadership is influence. The way, listen, I know men love respect, but what I found about respect is that respect is not dictated. Your life commands it. That's it. When I think about my wife, I'm always thinking of how to make her better. What can I do? How can I help? Not how can I control your life and make you miserable because I am your husband and you have to obey me. Whenever you say I'm the man in this house, you're officially not. Because if you are, you don't have to say it. And leadership entails that sometimes you are making a decision that maybe the emotions of a woman is not allowing her to see. And you stand your ground. One of the very important qualities a man must have is his ability to stand his ground over values of the family, over decisions that have to be made. And I must tell you, women, you will not always understand him. And when you don't, communicate and take it to God in prayers. I was telling the people, my people in Abuja, that there are two kinds of people, builders and all others. In life, you are either building, I don't want to go there yet. When you are a builder, let's say for instance you are building a business, or you are building a ministry, or you are building a career, there comes a point in the midst of that building that if you look at what this person is doing, it looks like nonsense. But you know you have the plan. Stay with the plan. Sometimes you are not failing. You are just somewhere in the plan that beauty is not part of the package. You are somewhere in the plan that plenty is not part of the package. Maybe now when I'm in town, I'm around. There's actually no way I choose to lodge myself that I can't do it. But it didn't start like that. When this ministry started, I had one trouser for a while. But that's where I was, in the building. And I've said, make sure anybody can call you anything, not lazy, and visionless. Actually, some guys who are emotional feel this person because I don't have money. No, it's not because you don't have money. There's no plan. Show a woman the plan, she won't forget it. There's no plan. I understand it's not here. So what's the next? Yes. Even Peter asked Jesus, we have left all and followed thee. What's going to be the result? If somewhere in the plan we're going to be a bit like this for a while, how are we going to come out? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? What's the plan? So don't blame your spouse because things are down. Is there a plan? If there's no plan, it's not too late. Sit down. You see, one time I told my wife, and I said, do you trust me? He said yes. I said, are you sure you trust me? He said yes. He said, we'll not have car for a while. Give me 2 months. So I called one of the boys. I said, go sell the car. We sold the car. And I added some more money. Went to buy acres of land. Did the survey, plotted everything, document. Began to resell. In 3 weeks, I could afford to buy a car much more. The price. That's a plan. How do you ride a car that is actually bigger than your annual income? Who are you impressing? It's good to have good cars, and I love good cars. Amen. I love good cars. Cars. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't say pastor is just no, it's good to have, but you must have a plan. And let me advise you, salary earners, have something that is not salary. Any company policy can change, and that's the end. It's good you have multiple streams. Am I communicating? Are you sure? Uh-huh. If I would advise, I would have said at least have some real estate. Even if it's a plot, something you can resell. There was a time they were begging people to come and buy land at Ibejuleki for $350,000. Begging. Now I'm not sure you can even get at those same locations for $10 million. And that's just some few years ago. Human population is increasing. Things are changing. You've got to have a plan. I don't know how I got there, but talking about leadership. The finance of your home. Take responsibility for it. Take responsibility for it now. Before it gets too late. Nobody is putting you under pressure. But take your position as a leader. Plan together. Lack of money in the home frustrates. So we don't bring out unnecessary devils out of ourselves. Let's plan. And like I said, for the balance, there comes a phase in the life of a builder where nothing really looks like it. But do you have a plan? That's number what now? So I round up with number 8. By Tuesday, I will wrap this up. Is that okay? And I will teach you on understanding male and female uniqueness in marriage. Male and female what? Uniqueness. And it's going to be, a moment of deliverance for you. Where you just understand. So it's not just my spouse. It's actually, that's how it is. But this person can get better. Do you understand that now? Good. Once I teach that, then we will now leave the surface. We have to dig. Is that okay? We have to dig. We have to go into subjects like the impact of pornography on marriage. The pastors don't like to talk about that. But I'm going to. Are you happy? You don't sound like you are. Clap for me if you are happy. Number 8. Learn the heart of spiritual warfare and prayer. There is something called the power of a praying man. The power of a praying husband. Are you with me? Now, listen. One of the strongest ways the devil will try to fight you is to make sure that your home does not fulfill God's desire. And it is actually spiritual. That your spouse can actually begin to manifest certain things. Not because the person is not trained. But because there is a devil taking advantage of the person's weak emotions to frustrate God's plan. And if you are not someone who understands the art of warfare, you will fight yourselves and leave the devil. I am saying there are certain things that will face you, that this one is not character defect. This one is the devil trying to do certain things. And sometimes it's bringing sickness. You just hear this person is having this sickness. What? It was not in God's package for us. This was not what God promised. We will hold hands and pray. And pray the nonsense out. Do you know how to pray? Are you a priest? Can you hold her by the hands? Can you intercede for her? Can you stand by her in the labor room as the priest there, commanding that your child will come forth and your wife too will not die in the process? Can you lay hands on her? Not the one you do for the gram. It's okay. I love marriage ministries online, all that. So we don't have just the bad news. But understand that that's content. Where I was somewhere at one of my mentees' wedding yesterday. They said everybody should lay hands on him and speak words. The photographer was going to snap. And they called me and said, Apostle, please speak words. I said, we are not praying. We are doing creating content. It's about prayer. Some things are for media. But do you actually pray? When you drop those phones, do you pray? Do you actually lay hands on? When was the last time you laid hands on your wife and spoke as a priest? Not as somebody who is staggering. And just say some things. Spoke as a priest. When was the last time you confirmed what God is saying to her? When was the last time? When was the last time you had a word for her from the Lord? When was the last time? When was the last time you studied the Bible together? Do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible in your home? Because your wife knows you don't read the Bible. She's amazed how you preach. She's amazed how you go to church and suit up. Some women look at their husband and know that, it's not really there. If you are not there, your wife knows. And that's why the greatest compliment anybody can give me is for my wife. When my wife looks at me and says, how can I be like you? So we already won. It touches me more than anything else in the world. But this is the person that sees me. She knows when I sleep. She knows when I wake up. And sometimes it's not funny. One day my wife looked at me and said, if you give anybody your routine for a day, they will feel you hate them. That's leadership. I'm not sure what happened at the redemption camp on Friday. When Pastor Leke Adeboye was speaking to his dad, and he broke down in tears. Not every man can see that in his lifetime. When you have so inspired your son, and your son knows that if care is not taken, another generation may not experience your type. When your children are privileged, and they know that they are privileged to come out from your loins, what kind of a man do you want to be? The one who will destroy the heart of your daughters about men? Or the one who will inspire them to get married? The one that your sons don't want to look like? Or the one who they come to meet and say, be my spiritual father, apart from being my physical father? I want all the men in this room to stand. Sit down again. Now stand up like the man in your prophetic destiny. Step out, all the men. Come on. Hold hands. Listen. Look up, guys. And across our centers, I want all the men to please step out. See. Look at me. Look up. It doesn't matter what you have believed. You will not fail. Sometimes you feel you have weaknesses that has gotten to the point where now you doubt your own masculinity and doubt your leadership skill. Sometimes you think of ways to just run out of your environment and you feel you are a failure. I've come to announce to you, you can't fail. And you are not going to be a failure. Now some of you are at a phase right now in your life where you are building. You have a plan and you know it. But nothing looks like it. Nothing looks like it. People who should respect you disrespect you. Because you are somewhere in the plan that resources are not coming the way they should come. And you wonder what is happening around you. How that those who used to honor you now look at you like something. And you are wondering, hang on. Hang on. There's a reason why God has made sure you are hearing what you are hearing now. Because He's starting a new lineage. I don't care about the mistakes that you have made in the past or the dysfunctionality of your home. You are a different person. And you are not going to die young. Your wives, your women will not have to look for another man. Because God is anointing you with fresh oil. Let me announce it again. You are not a failure. And in case you are building and now you want to stop building because of the disrespect that comes from it, don't stop. Marry somebody who understands a builder. Not every woman understands where a builder is. Or communicate what you are building to that girl that this is the plan. And let your diligence be seen. Is that clear? Lift your hands. I use you as a point of contact to every man in this ministry, sons, mentees, connected across board. You are not going to fail. Your fears will not catch up with you. You will give your children the kind of heritage you didn't get. You will give them the kind of life you were not privileged to get. Yeah. One day your children will look at you and say, we are proud to be your children. Yeah. Your wife will not die by your side. Yeah. I decree encouragement to every man who is hurting. I decree that the hand of God helps you. Yeah. I decree that you will not throw in the towel. Yeah. You will not be another failed generation. Yeah. You will become all that God intended for you. Amen. You will not vanish on the way like smoke. Amen. And it is well with you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Let's celebrate this model man as they go back to their seat. God bless you. Give them big, big hands. One of the most difficult things to be in the world is to be a man. Now, is that the way you clap? Celebrating them. Celebrate them. Celebrate them. Now may I please ask in a moment all the ladies in this house, please stand. And I'd like for you to please step out. May I announce to you with all gladness, you are not what the society defines you as. You are much more. And being a woman is not a limitation on the quality of your destiny. You are a woman, still carrying a child, you will do much more. Your daughters are praying to be like you because of what you mirror and because of what you show to them. Now, listen, I understand that one of the things that is peculiar, not just to you, I know to both genders, but much more to the woman, is sometimes the injury you have to work with. And you will wear makeup and put all those things under, and you still have to look good regardless of what you feel. Are you aware you can yield those things to God? Are you aware you are not the names they called you? Three different names called you wicked. Somebody left you and said you can't keep a man. And that word has been ringing in your head. And whenever a man comes to your life, you think they are doing you a favor. No. You are made after the order of Christ. You are the one showing us what Christ would have been if he was a woman. Lift your hands. You are not going to fail. One of the things the devil used to fight women is sudden sickness. You will not be sick. You will not lose your home. You will not vanish on the way like smoke. The wisdom to emerge after the order of the Proverbs 31 woman, receive it. And I call you blessed. If there is any one of you who is in a season of confusion, I decree confusion is gone. Amen. That fear that will I ever get the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh, take it away from your heart. I decree by the hand of God, you will not miss your spouse. Amen. And your hands will not be wrongly joined in marriage. Amen. You will be a woman of purpose. Amen. Nations of the earth will call you blessed. There is no door that will not open for you. It is well with you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's give them a big hand back to their seats. God bless you. Now let's all rise, male, female, rise on your feet, everyone, and give God praise for an amazing service we've had. Let's give God praise. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. And I decree that everything you have heard will be retained. You will walk in greater wisdom. Your home will be heaven on earth. And you will not fail God. You will not fail. You will not become another failed generation. You will do well. You will do well. You will do well. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's give God a big, big hand.
Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer. Through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Sphere of Life Church Global. It is his vision to raise God's end time on.
God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talents.
So, brace up for an experience.